Paul prayed for those Ephesian believers, as we see in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. He prayed that they might know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. He also wrote in Romans chapter 8 that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so I trust that as we meditate upon the love of God, we will be in awe. We will be in great, great wonder of it. All right? Not so much that it's wonderful, which it is, but it causes us great wonder and awe as we meditate upon the love of God. You know, it's always easier when we're going through life and maybe fearful times or troubled times. It's always easier to go through those times when you know that somebody is with you. Somebody is along your side. Somebody is walking with you and as part of that experience. So this morning we want to look at Psalm 46, and the title of the message is, Because He is With Us. Because He is with us, we are able to respond in a particular way as dictated in this psalm, as it relates to those real troubles and difficulties that come into our lives. You know, I think we can all agree that we live in a time that is could be characterized as turbulent times. These turbulent times and increase in them, there's become an increase in fear. There's an increase in cynicism. There's an increase in anger or division. We live in unsettled times, and I would assume that everybody in every generation could probably make the same statement, that they lived in unsettled times. That just characterizes this world. But there is a blessing to unsettled times in our lives as Christians. And the blessing of the unsettled times that we face is that it can drive us to our true security. Unsettled times can drive us to our true security. That is the blessing of unsettled times. The security that is all too often ignored or forgotten in unsettled times. When things are going well, we're not experiencing difficulty or hardship, and life is kind of bright and sunny and smooth sailing, we sort of forget where our true security is during those times. But yet it's during those unsettled times that we realize the source of our true security. So it's important for us to see the unsettled times of our lives not as something that is out of control, though we feel like that, but something that drives us to the one who is in control. And we have to try to view our unsettled times as that, to make us remember that these things that we sometimes tend to put our trust in are not where our true source of security is. The context of Psalm 46, if we want to understand it in context, is that this psalm contrasts something. It contrasts the lasting security that we have in God with the unreliability of nations or people that rise, but they also fall. And so we are grateful for God's grace to us as a nation. We'll be celebrating that on July 4th. That's a Wednesday. We're not going to have Wednesday evening service that Wednesday on July 4th. But yet we will be thankful for God's grace to this nation, but we have to face the truth, even in our gratefulness, that America is one of those nations of this world. And as such, it's every bit as insubstantial or unsubstantial as some of those great empires of the past. And so there's really only one kingdom that's going to last forever. And we need to keep that reality in mind. As we try to find our security in other things, we need to keep that in mind about this eternal kingdom. So this psalm is talking about the lasting security that is found in God versus other things, other nations, other people. And it really is the psalm that is really the basis of Martin Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And so this psalm was really the motivator behind that well-known hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Now, many commentators place this psalm or tie this psalm to God's rescue of Judah. Maybe you remember in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19, the days of King Hezekiah. And during his reign, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came up against him as this Assyrian conquest was taking place. And Sennacherib sent letters by messengers of his to Hezekiah telling him that he was going to be destroyed. And that the people, as these letters were read to those of the tribe of Judah, letters were read, Sennacherib was communicating that, listen, don't let Hezekiah deceive you by making such statements that your God is going to deliver you from me. I've destroyed and defeated these other nations, and I'm going to destroy and defeat you. So don't let Hezekiah deceive you that that's going to be the case. And so what Hezekiah did in receiving this communication from Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, that evening he went to the Lord and he laid those letters out, if you will, before the Lord and say, Lord, if you don't do something, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Because he was bringing a large army against him, and they saw that. They saw the thousands of men that were there. And then 2 Kings chapter 19 tells us that when Sennacherib got up in the morning, those of the tribe of Judah got up in the morning, there the angel of the Lord had fought for them, and there was 185,000 soldiers that were dead, and Sennacherib had fled. And so some people put the context of Psalm 46 in that historical context of 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19, and the angel of the Lord fighting for them. So whether or not that event prompted the writing of this psalm, as we read it, we realize as believers that the scope of this psalm clearly reaches beyond that one particular event, possibly, in 2 Kings chapter 19. That this psalm is applicable to us, that it helps us fix our hope upon God and see and recognize what God has done in the past. It helps us realize that God is doing something in the present, and that God has promised to do something for his children in the future. And so our hope in God, in the midst of our real troubles, in the midst of our real crises, in the midst of our real fears, touches the crisis of our moment, of where we find ourselves this morning. Our hope, this hope from this psalm, touches our crisis as well. And so there's basically three stanzas of this psalm. Wherever you read the psalms and you see the word Selah in verse 3, into verse 7, and then the end of the psalm in verse 11, that was just a musical pause, as these were psalms, they were sung. That was just a time in which they would take a musical pause to meditate about what was just said. So when we read this psalm in a moment and you see that word Selah, as they were singing this psalm, they would pause and meditate about it. One time I was down at church, at Jeff's church in Greenville, and as they were reading one of the psalms, they would get to an interlude, one of these Selahs, and they would pause and just have the piano play for like 15 or 30 seconds to allow God's people to think about what was just read. I thought that was interesting and even effective in helping them get the sense of that. Well, that's what it's there for. And so there's three stanzas, if you will, to this psalm, to this hymn, as we think about God being with us. And that is sort of the emphasis and throughout it. And so we'll divide it up into three ways. First of all, verses 1 through 3, because God is with us, we will not fear. Because God is with us, we will not fear. And we kind of see that in verse 1, it says he's a present help. In verse 5, we see that God is in the midst of her. In verse 7, he is with us. Verse 11, he is with us. And so because God is with us, we will not fear. The second stanza, we'll learn this in verses 4 through 7. Because God is with us, we will be glad. And then thirdly, verses 8 through 11, because God is with us, we have peace. We have peace. Because the reality is, we are all easily shaken. We are all easily shaken by those big events that many times devastate us and literally turn our world upside down. But we are also many times easily shaken by just the small events of life that bring distress or difficulty. So let's look at this passage and let God work in us this courage, this gladness, this peace that he wants to give us in our lives through the promises of his word and through the reliability of his character. So let's read the psalm here. We'll read the first three verses. We'll read them in sections, I think. Number one, because God is with us, we will not fear. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah, or consider this. Think about this. And so we will not, because God is with us, we will not fear. And that's what it says. God is our refuge, his strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. You know, some people don't fear because they are unaware of the dangers, right? Sometimes we don't fear because we are simply unaware of the dangers. When we were children, there were certain things as children we feared. We may have feared the dark. We may have feared certain dogs or different things like that. When we were children, we feared certain things. But there are a lot of things that as children we didn't even notice as it relates to being a problem. But as we grow as adults, there is so much more for us to worry about, right? We begin to fear other things, broader things, as we move into adulthood. Kind of interesting this week, Matt and Jordan worked together at ABWE on the grounds there, and they have a lot of property and wooded property, and they were out doing some weed whacking, and they came upon this fawn. I got this picture on my phone about the middle of the day, and literally it was a picture from Jordan's phone, assuming he and Matt were standing over this fawn this close. And that thing with its little white spots was kind of curled up and just sleeping there. And they were just standing over this fawn. And that was interesting. They never experienced that, I assume, and I got that close to it. And then later in the week, Jordan and I were up at Messiah College. He was kicking a soccer ball around. I was chasing them and bringing back to where he could kick them. I don't dare kick them too much. But yet we were up there. And once we got to the field, on the upper back fields, we were getting walking into the area where we were going to be doing that. And this gentleman was jogging on the outside gated area of the field. And as he was jogging, I noticed that there was this little fawn about the same size that was literally as close as that small pew, running behind him and running with him. It was chasing him. And so he stopped, and he looked back, and it stopped. And they sort of paused and looked at each other. And then he began to walk towards it, since it was chasing him, to see if it would run away. He began to walk towards it, and it just kind of then scooted off. Well, he came back. He came back, and he laid down on the outside of the tennis courts against a chain link fence. And I don't know if it was an R&S fence, Jason, or not. But he laid on the outside of this chain link fence. And after Jordan and I finished what we were doing, Jordan, we went outside of the area where we were. And Jordan said, I'm going to try to walk over to there. And he literally again walked right up to this fawn about this close and stood over it as it was curled up there with its eyes open. And he took some pictures of it. Then he began to, you know, kneel down to get a little bit closer, and about that time it got up and scurried off. Right? In other words, it seems that those little fawns, as young as they were, just a few weeks old, didn't really have the same awareness of being fearful as they will when they are mature adults. Sometimes we don't fear certain things because we are unaware of it. We're unaware of the danger. Okay, and so therefore we don't fear that thing. So a lot of times that's why we don't fear. Sometimes we don't fear in our lives. We don't experience fear, tension, stress, not only because we're unaware of danger, but sometimes it's because we're living in a time of calm or ease, right? There still may be dangers around, but we're living in a time of a stage of calm and ease. Everything's going well, and we're not fearful. But this fearlessness that this psalm is talking about here in verse 2, therefore we will not fear, this fearlessness and this psalm is in the face of catastrophe. It's not that the psalmist is not as aware of the dangers. It's not as if they're in a time of ease. This fearlessness is in the midst of great catastrophe. If we read the verses, it describes something as if the world is literally falling apart. They're threatened by this surging, uncontrollable forces of nature. Look at verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Verse 3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. In other words, this fearlessness is in the midst of, in the face of, great catastrophe. All right? This courage, no matter what it is impossible apart from God Himself. See? And so that's where we find this courage. This ability not to fear in the midst of great catastrophe is in God Himself. And so when we talk about being fearless, we're not talking about a stick our head in the sand mentality. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. All right? That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about courage in the face of real reasons to be fearful, but knowing that God is greater than anything that is causing us to fear. Notice how he describes God there in verse 1, that our security in life comes from the character of God. God is our refuge. What is a refuge? Well, a refuge is an unchanging shelter. When we feel like there's no place to hide and there's no safety, God is our refuge. God is that unchanging shelter in the midst of those storms. He is our strength. So in the midst of those things that can bring real fear in our lives, God is our strength. He's the power for us to take the kind of action that we need to. I have a question. How many times in your life or in my life when we face difficulties, we just don't feel like dealing with it anymore? You ever been there? You just don't feel like dealing with it. We feel like the problems are so overwhelming that we don't have the strength to deal with it. But God is saying, Psalmist is saying that God is my refuge. He is that unchanging shelter, and he gives me the strength to take the action that I need to take, even when I don't feel like taking that action. It says then that he is a help in trouble. This help is described as a very present help in time of trouble. The idea is of this help is that it is right there. It's at hand, ready to be found to the highest degree. The sense that God is always ready and that God is always beside us. So this refuge of this unchanging shelter, this strength to empower us, this very present help is why we don't fear, okay? Why we can have victory over the fear. We're going to fear. I understand that. We're going to fear. I mean, we struggle. We're but dust, okay? God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. But we're going to experience that. That's part of the trial. That's part of the growth and perfecting process. We're not there yet. But yet we're able to overcome those fears when we understand those things about God. What else do we need but these kinds of things that we have in God Himself? So this refuge and strength and sense of help is in the face of real distress. Some of you are going through real distress this morning. You're facing real distress. And this refuge and strength and sense of help is in the face of real distress. You're not living in la-la land. He describes these upheaval in verses 2 and 3 of these very things upon which you think you have solid footing and permanent safety. You would think we would have solid footing when it talks about the earth, the mountains. All right, mountains, pretty impressive, right? Pretty impressive. And you would think, oh, surely upon those things you would have solid footing. But here, think of the picture of the earth giving way. Mountains moved into the midst of the sea, all right? This devastating upheaval that takes place, okay? The raw, menacing power of the waves of the ocean. From a distance, they look beautiful, right? The waves and those white caps rolling in one after another looks beautiful. But you get in the midst of that, all right? And you have a totally different perspective, okay, if you're caught in them. So this devastation. Think of the devastation of natural disasters that can displace thousands of people in a day and change the lives of survivors forever. Some of these volcanoes that are taking place. Can you just imagine molten rock coming down your street? You know, just gradually, and you know, nothing you can do. You're not stopping it. All right? So it has to run its course. Everything you have, burn up, gone. Okay? Natural disasters. We see that. Takes place and the devastation that it brings. How about wars and terrorism and what that brings into our life, the fear that it brings into our lives? How about economic collapse? where suddenly a person's savings for a lifetime is worth nothing? How about political upheaval? Those things that we gave over, that are supposed to give order to society, all of a sudden they're overthrown and there's great uncertainty. All these things naturally create a climate of fear. Just turn on the news. But what happens in a national, international scale sometimes doesn't affect us, right? Right. We see it on, we see the highlight 30-second clip of this or 30-second clip of that, but it really doesn't affect us. But the reality is, in times of even national or international calm, as individuals, we have a personal level of distress or storms that we face. We are suddenly, as people, caught into situations that completely redirect our lives forever or obliterate what we thought our lives would be. An illness, loss of employment, death of a child, death of a spouse. All of a sudden, we're suddenly put into a situation that totally changes what we thought life was going to be like. And it brings us, there are real reasons to fear. And many have experienced that, and some are experiencing those even right now. So what is it that neutralizes that kind of fear and sense of unsteadiness in our lives? It's God, who is our refuge, our strength, our present help. God is with us. And we can deal with distress and find that footing and courage because he's with us. All right, he is our refuge. He is our strength. So more than just being our courage, us not fearing in the face of that which would normally cause fear, the psalmist then gives us another point here in verse 4 through 7. Because God is with us, we will not only not fear, because God is with us, we will be glad. Verse 4 through 7. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. All right? Consider that. So because God is with us, we will be glad. You know, joy is really an elusive thing, is it not? It's an elusive thing. You know, even in our Declaration of Independence, we are told that we are entitled to what? We're not entitled to happiness. We're entitled to the pursuit of happiness. Because happiness and joy and gladness is a very elusive thing. You know, if you think about it, all of us really live life this way. We live life pursuing that which we think will actually make us happy. Would you agree with that? To a large extent, everybody approaches life with the goal of finding out and figuring out that which actually makes them happy. In fact, if you're a Christian here this morning living for the Lord, okay, the reason you are living for the Lord is that you have come to believe that living for Jesus makes you happier than living for all the other things that people think make them happy, right? You've come to that conclusion, that living for Christ by his grace brings you more joy than living for those things that a lot of other people think make them happy. You've come to that conclusion in your life. And so you have found something in God that is a more substantial reason for joy than anything else that you can base your happiness upon. And so, because God is with us, he's with us, we will be glad. Verse 4, okay? He will make glad. And so, we have the promise of future gladness. One day there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. And so we as Christians live in anticipation of that eternal gladness. We anticipate that. We are glad every time that we experience a taste of heaven's joys ahead of time. You ever heard that phrase? Oh, it's just a little taste of heaven. It's just a little, that was just a little taste of heaven. And we live in that gladness. We live in the anticipation of that eternal gladness. We are glad when we sense the Holy Spirit changing us, right? When the Spirit of God is developing the fruit of the Spirit in us, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, okay, when we anticipate, when we see that, the fruit of the Spirit, it brings us gladness. those things that are not natural to us, love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, purity, not natural to us. But when we see God doing that in our lives, we're glad, right, that we're growing in him. Okay? And so we understand because we are his children, we're safe. Though the mountains be removed, we're safe in his hands. And because we are safe, we are joyful. See, the nation of Israel was a small people compared to those mighty nations surround them. It says in verse 6 that the heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. Yeah, and so the children of God or the tribe of Judah were just a small people as these other mighty nations surrounded them and tried to destroy them. Okay, but yet, in his time, God was going to rescue them by various means, and therefore they were safe by those that opposed them. And God destroyed them in various ways. And one day, God, it says in verse 6, he uttered his voice and the earth melted. One day, God is literally, he spoke this world into existence, and one day he's gonna speak into it. It's the same destruction. It's going to melt away in a fervent heat. See, and he'll destroy it. And sometimes we maybe are overwhelmed by people or circumstances or problems. Okay, we're overwhelmed by those things, but yet they are not comparable to our God, all right, of who God is. Verse 7 describes of who God is. He's the Lord of hosts. We studied the names of God. The Lord of hosts means the Lord of armies, okay? The Lord of armies, angels and other things at God's bidding to protect and provide for his people. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the God of Jacob. Well, here's Jacob, this deceiver, the one always trying to work out his own schemes, trying to do his own way, running from the trouble that he created. That's kind of what we think of Jacob. But finally, he wrestles with God, and he finally holds on to God, and God finally becomes Jacob's refuge, and God transforms Jacob and changes him. See? And so this God of Jacob. So our joy in the midst of real problems comes through the security of who God is. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the God of Jacob. But it's not just in who God is, all right? Because it really wouldn't help me to know that God is these things to Jacob. That was a long time ago, right? So it's not just who God is, but this help comes to me from where God is. He's still alive today. He is here. He is with us. Verse 5 says that we are told that God is in the midst of her. So this little tribe of Judah, the people of God in the midst of these surrounding nations, Assyria and others that are out to destroy them, God says, listen, I'm in the midst of you. I am with you. I'm in your midst. The God of Jacob is with us. And so that's where our true joy and security is found, is in the promise and the reality of not just who God is, the Lord of hosts and the God of Jacob, but he's in the midst of us. He's with us. And so that's what we see here. How often do we go throughout Scripture and we find that it emphasizes to us that God is with us? Okay, Jesus, God sent Jesus into this world. John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he tabernacled with us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God sent his Son, he dwelt among us, Emmanuel, God with us. Okay, Jesus left the earth, Matthew chapter 28, he gave the Great Commission. And in that Great Commission to go and teach and baptize, he says, and lo, I am with you always. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. He's with us. Hebrews 13:5 tells us to be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so we find our gladness, we find our joy, we find our security in the midst of real fears and real dangers, and the reality that God is who he says he is, and he is with us. He is still Emmanuel, God with us. And not only is he with us, he has given us his Spirit within us. The Spirit of God dwells in us. And so we find joy and security in that eternal promise. So the joy of God's stabilizing presence. How can we hold on to that joy in the midst of real danger? Is it by just just immersing ourselves in our jobs? Is it by just sleeping more? Is that where we find real joy in the midst of our fears or our difficulties? Oh, those things may distract us in the moment, right? Just keep busy, right? Some help to that, sure. But yet they'll distract us for a moment, but they won't give us that real joy, that real security in the midst of those things. We get it by taking time to meditate upon who God is and where God is. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the God of Jacob. He's our refuge. And he is in the midst of us. He is in me. He is with me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. That's where we find that joy within us. Because once you're convinced of that, you will find a gladness that rises above those fears. Once we are convinced of who God is and where he is with us, we will find a joy that rises above those fears. And then lastly, the last stanza is this: because God is with us, we will have peace. All right? We will not fear, we will have joy, and we will have peace. Verse 8 says this: come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then he tells us to consider, Psalmist tells us to consider that as well. So peace will finally come to our planet one day by force. God will ultimately make that happen. He'll bring desolation upon the earth. And we will never have this peace until God makes man stop fighting and God rules the world through Jesus Christ. So God will wipe out all those implements of war because there'll no longer be need of them. They'll be ineffective, and he will reclaim the earth as his own. And because he will bring this peace, and because he is able to bring this peace, he tells us as God's people to be still. Be still and know. In other words, many times the peace that we desire in our lives, we can't attain by our own efforts. All right? You know, some people say, well, why pray when you can worry? Okay? That's some people's Christians' mottos for life. Why pray when you can worry? In other words, I can try to attain this peace, this security by my own means and my own efforts. Many times in the face of real danger, God just wants us to lay our hands to our sides, to be careful for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or rule or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so it is in Christ himself and our gaze upon him that we find this peace, all right? And so such peace, both globally and personally, is because God himself, verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And so because God is with us, we are unshaken. Because God is with us, we will not fear. Because God is with us, we will be glad. Because God is with us, we will have peace. Think about how powerful my testimony and your testimony could be in this world if people saw us with this unshakable courage in the midst of real danger. If they saw this irrepressible joy in the midst of real things that cause real fear. This confidence in God resulting in peace. This confidence in God resulting in peace in the midst of real danger. Okay, you and I are on this earth to display those types of qualities as we rely upon God who is with us and gives us joy and dispels fear and gives us peace in our lives in the midst of real danger. So I'm sure all of us have situations, large, devastating, turning the world upside down type of things, or we have some of the little daily worries of life that bring us fear and anxiety. But we need to realize because God is with us, we should not fear. We can be glad and we will have peace as we focus upon who God is and where he is. He's with us. And that's our source of encouragement this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you again that you've given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Father, the Christian life is not just a bed of roses. It's not a life without thorns or without difficulties. Father, we are to count it all joy when we fall into different temptations or trials, knowing certain things, that the trying of our faith worketh patience or endurance. But let patience have her perfect work, that you might be mature and entire, wanting nothing. In the midst of those things, if we lack wisdom, help us ask of you, which gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to them. But Lord, help us to believe in who you are, that you are with us, and therefore we need not fear, we need not be overwhelmed, we need not be full of anxiety, and we can be at peace, we can have joy in the midst of great difficulty as we believe in who you are and that you are always with us, working all things together for good. Father, this demands that we walk by faith and not by sight. Give us that grace, we pray. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Have a good day.